there will be no other name than Jesus. Thank you that that's the highest name, Jesus Christ. And as we know that many people prayed on mountains and on high places, always when we sing this, Lord, I know that the name of Jesus Christ is higher. It's more power, and it's the ultimate. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can be in your presence. Thank you that we can glorify you, Father. And we're looking forward to what you have for us today, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Martin. I think there came a few people in when we've started already. We have welcoming packs. Will you please put up your hand, or is it a little... We're so awesome. Thank you so much. Super. if you filled in the card, if the sermon is boring, you can fill in the card. No, not really. But if you fill in the card, we would gladly receive it. And then we have a small welcoming pack, a gift that we want to give for you just because you're here today. So welcome. I'm Renee van der Veen. I'm married to the old pastor, the head pastor, or the pastor. The pastor. So, welcome everyone. It's good to see you. And, it's an interesting topic. When God shared with me that it's my turn again to preach, I said, okay, but I sometimes, it's difficult for me because I don't think I'm a natural, people that can talk easily in front of other people. So, and then he said, wait and shine. And I said, Lord, what wait and what shine? So to me, it was also a revelation what he showed me during this week. And I hope he reveals it to you. And Lord, I pray now that you open everyone's heart. You know why everyone is here and who is here, Father. And I pray that everyone will receive your word, what you have planned for them today, Father. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, the first thing when we think of weight, I've got two slides of pictures. The first slide, sometimes weight is not a thing that we do easily. I often heard or I spoke to my own children when they were still young, and then they will say, may we have some sweets, or may we watch this TV program, or may we go swimming? And then I had to say, no, not now. You must wait. You must wait. We will do it later, or perhaps we cannot do it today. Or so the waiting was difficult. Also, I don't know what kind of parents you had, but they were not allowed to eat cookies or sweets just before a meal. So I said, first eat your veggies and your food, and then we will get pudding, or then we will get sweets or whatever. And I found they are very focused to get that stuff in, the veggies and the things that they don't feel is so awesome. And they are focused on the pudding or on the cookies that, or the chocolates that comes afterwards. And I don't know if weight comes easier when you grow up. I think you understand it better, that at the end it's worth it. It's worth it to wait. I have this picture of the dog waiting. I think there's no more faithful person or animal on the earth that can wait so patiently. This joke comes up to my mind now of my son told me that when you leave your wife in the car in a warm parking lot at a shop, and you come back, and when you leave the same amount of time a dog in your car and you come back, see who loves you the most. And there I think we can learn sometimes of a dog. They are always so glad when you come back. They never say, why did it take so long? The car was hot and blah, blah, blah. Oh, so I really think we can learn of them. I don't know this guy at the bottom. I don't know if someone dropped him there, but he's obviously waiting. Hopefully, I think, because he is looking in the direction where a car can come from. And then I hope no one feels like this skeleton, that you've waited and the pudding never came. It never came to be. But yeah, sometimes, not that little board, but sometimes you get in waiting rooms, then they say, please wait here or wait there. And then you think, what will I do with my time? The next slide is also, for me, it was, we all know that please wait on the computer. So we patiently wait, or I don't know if it's patiently. Sometimes we complain about the speed, I think. But we are looking forward to the pudding. We're looking forward to when it's connected, when we can communicate with that thing. And then the grapes, it's awesome that I think every farmer knows that you have to wait till a certain time for the crops to grow, and then you can take it off the field. It doesn't help you to do it before that, because you will not make money. You cannot sell it. It's not grown enough. So yeah, I think farmers learn very well how to wait. And then the last picture was on an airport waiting. And what I want to say about this wait, most of it is waiting actively. The farmer, for instance, had to take care of his crops. He had to look after them, give them fertilizer, give them water when necessary, prune them to get the right grapes for the market that he wants to market. So he is busy while waiting. The children, when they have to eat their food, they are busy eating the food and focused on what is coming. This guy most probably had his visa correct and he was through the check stuff is what where they see if you have weapons and all that, and you hand in your deodorant and everything. But he was prepared. Yes, I think he's waiting for boarding, if I watch the picture correctly. But he had to be prepared. We just now had a mission team from South Africa. It was 8 people. They needed funds to come, so they were. The end thing was the mission, but they had to get money, they had to get visas, they had to apply beforehand, they were focused to come. And then often we say we can't wait to go somewhere, especially on holiday, we can't wait. But we do book mostly, I don't know if some people go randomly, but mostly we do book a place where we want to go, and we prepared, we look. I don't know if the men does that, but the women think, what will I wear there? What will I pack in? And perhaps the men think, how much money must I take along? I don't know. That at least we can come back. I was thinking now on me and Dad can have a very interesting relationship. And we are married now for 33 years or something more. I think it's 34 now. But the first few times when we went on holiday, I did the finances, and I'm not so good in the finances. So then we will go on holiday, and then I didn't draw money for putting in petrol in the car. And where we lived, you couldn't pay with a card, so you had to have cash. And then on the way, he will say, oh, it doesn't matter, we will find a bank. But you know how it works. You circle in that town and you're looking for the bank. So he was actually not prepared. And you're also with food in the car. We have three boys, adult now, and they always are hungry. So I knew beforehand, just pack in lots of bread. The Dutch are good in bread. No, they love bread. So lots of bread. And the first time we went on holiday, Darkan will say, it's fine, we'll find fresh bread on the way. You never find fresh bread on the way. When you're hungry, you're on the highway. So, you know, you're kind of stuck and everyone gets angry. And, That's why I packed in the bread later. But later he got super cool with that. He's now better prepared than me. But this weight is a focused weight, and we'll go further on just now. It is not, you will not get to your holiday destination by sitting in front of the TV or having fun time with your friends. You need to be focused and prepare, otherwise you will not get there. You need to buy a ticket if you need to go by plane. Or so what I want to say by waiting is not sitting and doing nothing. It is really actually active, focused time to be prepared. And the day I turned 40, and 6 months later, at 3 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up. I knew it was him, and I heard him audibly. It was my first time. And he said to me, "Are you ready to immigrate?" And I was in South Africa, and my first reaction was, "No, I'm not ready. I'm not going anywhere." It was the first year all three of our children were happy with the teachers they got. The year when I got 40, that was 6 months back then, I had a sprinkler system for our awesome garden, so I didn't have to water the garden for hours anymore. So I was kind of in a nice comfort zone. So I said to God, "No, I don't think I am ready." And then I asked him, "And where do you want us to go? Perhaps to the Netherlands, because we have Dutch passports." Then he said, "No, to Spain." I said, "Spain? I can't even speak that language." So I was shocked, and I thought of it a lot. And my reading the Bible after that, about for 4 weeks, always came back to where God asked the disciples the first time when he came to them. He said, "Come with me," and they let everything go, and they just went. And then I thought, "Yes, Lord, I failed it. I want to stay with my sprinklers." I didn't want to go. And we were still in the Dutch Reformed Church, and I spoke to my dominee, my pastor there, and I told him this, and he was rather shocked. I don't think he believed me. And he said, "But now, Renee, you must do nothing. You must do nothing. You just wait for God now." And I know I missed it because of that also. Also because I was not ready in my heart. But I think if I've pursued God, if I was not waiting on the couch, if I diligently sought after his will, if I asked him and read the Bible more or asked him more and he could communicate with me, I think it would have been different. So I know to just sit and do nothing, you can sometimes miss opportunities that God had in mind for you. It's not that it will keep me out of heaven. It's not that. But it was in his plan, and I just missed it. But he did prepare me for the second time. Okay, so let's look. What does the Bible say about weight? And we just had the crucifixion, and that Jesus stood up after 3 days. And then this part in Luke is where Jesus told them they must wait. "And behold, I sent the promise of my Father on you, but you sit in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands and blessed them. And it happened as he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And worshipping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Jesus told them they must go to Jerusalem and wait there. Wait for pudding or what? I don't know. Wait for what his Father promised him, the Holy Spirit. He promised it. I don't think they really knew. Perhaps they had a little idea of what the Holy Spirit would be. But what was awesome to me also in this scripture is they went with great joy. I don't think if you don't like beans and your mom tells you to eat the beans, then you will get the pudding, that you do it with great joy. You just munch it that it's away as quick as possible. But they returned and they were prepared to wait with joy, with expectation, with, wow, we don't want to miss this one. We are ready. We want to receive this. We want to have this. If you think that a few days before, when Jesus was crucified, they actually hid. They ran away. They were so scared that they will be crucified as well. And then yet there, yeah, they went with joy to Jerusalem. So let's quickly look also at Acts 1 verse 3. To whom he also presented himself living after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them through 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What I want to highlight here is the 40 days. After Jesus was resurrected, for 40 days, he revealed himself to the disciples and other people. I'm not going in detail there, but there was many sightings of Jesus in that 40 days. So when Jesus said to them, okay, go back to Jerusalem and wait there, they already experienced his resurrection. They knew there is something miraculously happening here. And what's coming next, I don't know, but I don't want to miss it. And I'm going. It was those 40 days, and then they waited another 7 days. Let's see if verse 4. And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father which you heard from me. Wait. They had to wait. And what is awesome, it's a promise of the Father. So Jesus, if you read the Bible sometimes, you will see that Jesus says, I do only what the Father told me or what I've seen from the Father. And then when God speaks to us, it's the Father speaking to us. And if Jesus was so obedient to what his dad said, I think sometimes we will take it more seriously and not just quickly decline as I did, because the sprinklers was more important to me than following what the Father had on his heart. But okay, and Acts 1 verse 13, and when they had come in, they went up into an upper room where Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelote, my English is a little, and Judas, the brother of James. These are the disciples. If you count them, they are 11, because Judas died. He kissed Jesus and they crucified him, and he got money for that, and he regretted it actually, and he bought a piece of land and he fell on there and he burst open and he died there. So till today, they have a saying of that piece of ground that I think it's blood ground or something like that. But they were all together, the 11. And also in verse 13 to 15, you can see these all were continuing with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, that's Jesus' brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together was about 120. So what we learn here, they went back to Jerusalem, they went to the other room, and they were continuing in one accord in prayer and supplication. And there was women as well, and Jesus' mother was there, and his brothers. I often wondered about his brothers, because if my brother declared himself Jesus, I wonder if I would acknowledge him. I think it was difficult to grow up with him. Or perhaps they knew there's something different with him. I don't know. But it's super awesome to know that his brothers were with. They were also praying in one accord. And I think that's what God wants us to be when he says wait. Because this waiting is actually for his return, for the return of Jesus Christ. We must wait with joy, with anticipation, but pray in one accord. And sometimes I think we as Christians struggle to pray in one accord. God gave us different personalities, different gifts. So the one is stronger in this, the one is stronger in that. And sometimes we struggle to acknowledge it, and some of us have envy because of it, or some feel a failure because of it. But actually, we're supposed to celebrate each other. Celebrate what God has put in us. And he chose us to be different. If everyone was Martin with a guitar and drums, he's actually even better with drums. He's good with this, but you must hear him drum. But in any case, who will play the keyboard, or will we sing if we all stand here? God didn't ever intend for us to be all the same. And we know that our fingerprints are not the same. Our personalities are not the same. We have sometimes traits that are the same, but we are supposed to be different. And actually, if we recognize the difference, we must actually celebrate with God, because we say, oh, Martin is good with the guitar, or Caroline is good with cycling, or with accounting, or whatever. So we have different gifts. And it's not to sponge on each other and say, oh, I wish I had that. No, great. So we can bless each other with the gift you have. So we are supposed to pray in one accord. And also, if you have a yearning for something, we are, if it's godly, in agreement. We pray together and we celebrate what God has put on everyone's heart. When we come to intercession, I found it's a very good place to learn how to hear God's voice. It is a difficult thing. When we are in heaven, I'm going to ask God why the telephone line was so difficult with him. Because often you wonder, is it God, is it not God? Did I hear, did I not hear? And at intercession, I feel that you learn how to pray in one accord. You learn how to hear, and then you think you hear something, or you hear a verse in your brain suddenly, and then you look it up and you hear someone else praying exactly that. Then you know it's from God, because God is not confused. He will confirm. Sometimes in church we have people that can bring a tongue, and then we also wait for someone to share what is said in that tongue, because a tongue you cannot understand. And at first I wonder, what is this now, when the first time when I saw this? But it's actually to build the congregation, for upbuilding, because you see something miraculously is happening. This person is talking in a tongue, even has the guts to come to the front, and then another one comes, and sometimes there's more than one, confirming exactly the same. And then you know, yes, God is here. It's often a message for the church. So it's not for yourself. Sometimes God gives me pictures, and then I in the beginning, at first, I felt, oh, okay, I see this. All right, okay, good. And then I feel warm in church, and then I think, what is this now? Why am I feeling like this? And then someone else will go to the front and share. God says, da 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 da, whatever. And then, but it's exactly what God gave me. You know, God is not concerned about how far did you study, how clever you are, can you speak wonderfully in front of people or not. He doesn't worry about that. If he gives you a message, it's the same God that's given someone else a message. It's not immature. It's not less important when you receive it. So I had to learn, it's not about me. It's about receiving it from God and giving it through to the congregation so that it can bless the congregation. No. Okay, I'm a little off my place where I need to be. Okay, so they were together in one accord, 120, and they were waiting, focusing, they sang songs, they prayed, they were looking forward for the pudding. They were waiting and waiting, and they say they were waiting for 7 days because, yeah, after the 40 days, God said, okay, now you wait for me. And verse 26, and they gave forth their lots. Oh, okay. What happened still? Yeah, yes. I said that Judas died. Then Peter, stood up? Yes, Peter stood up. And he said, okay, guys, we're supposed to be 12. We are 11 now. One died. And let's pray and ask God that he will help us so that we can be 12 again. So they voted on another two. That's what they did during those 7 days. They were focused. They were starting to be ready to, when the pudding comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, that they can move. So they voted on two people, and then they prayed. And they said, Lord, you know better everyone's heart. You can see the heart. You search the heart. So we have these two people, and we're going to, Lot. Yes, and they gave forth their lots. So first they voted on these two, and then they prayed and asked God, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So now they're ready. They have done, they are 12 again and focused and waiting on God. Yes. Okay, and then Acts 2 verse 1. And in the fulfilling of the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay, after 7 days, they were still in one accord. I wonder if we can try it. I think it's a challenge, and I think it was a challenge for them as well. What is Pentecost? Why did the Jews celebrate that? Why did many people go there to Jerusalem? Pentecost was the celebration or the remembrance of the law being given at Mount Zion, Sinai. It was the Passover that we celebrated with Easter, the Passover and the death of the firstborns, and then they were out of Egypt, and then they received the law at the Mount Sinai. And so that God said they must still remember that. And it was also the forthcoming of the Holy Spirit pouring out. It was on that same day. So the next slide will show us where all the Jews came from, or some of them were Christian already, but where all the Jews came from. So if you lived in Italy, most probably had a different language than if you came from Arabia or whatever. So they came all over, and God the Father is not confused. So he knew a lot of people will be there. So if he pours out the Holy Spirit that day and everyone goes back to their places, it's instant now evangelism. Because if you have first hand seen what happened and you're part of that, wow. That's cool. And that's what I also want to say, in the waiting, and like with the grapes, there's a divine time. There's an exact time that is right. And Jesus Christ will come back on the exact right time. We can think, while I was preparing, I read part of the scripture in Acts that says, or was it in Luke, that it said that the disciples asked Jesus, yeah, and is this now the signs that you will make us a new kingdom and whatever? And then Jesus says, no, it's for no one to know. No one knows, only the Father knows when Jesus will come back. So yes, we can run after every, I want to call it a forecast or a false prophecy or whatever. As soon as someone says it will be then, you must know it's not the truth, because no one knows. Only the Father knows when Jesus comes back. We must just be prepared. We must be ready. Okay? So all these people came to celebrate Pentecost. What was awesome to me also is that they received the law, but now the Holy Spirit brings the law in our hearts. So it's we still have the law to help us, but the law is now more part of us. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, verse 2, and suddenly a sound came out of the heavens, and as borne along with the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. After this, it also says, It says there that people heard this, and they all came to see what is going on. So it must have been a huge sound. It was without amplifiers, but it was loud, that people would say, okay, what's going on? What's going on? So they went there, and it was the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit arriving. And it was the promise that the Father has given through Jesus. And the people were amazed, and they wondered what's going on. And it's for those of us who have received the Holy Spirit, we know it has power. I don't think I may underestimate it, but what those disciples received was so powerful. They came from scared to bold. They were focused. They just went, even if they were martyred, even if they were murdered, they stuck to their story. So it must have made a huge impact on them to not have sprinklers. So to just be focused and go, and nothing could get them away from that. Nothing. It must have been so powerful. And that same Holy Spirit is supposed to work in us. But they were ready. They were prepared. And I think sometimes we are not ready and we are not prepared. So we struggle to receive the Holy Spirit. So we struggle to be bold and courageous. It's actually we can be that if we let the Holy Spirit flow better through us. I believe. Okay. I just wrote here down E1. E1 is a course in our church that it's a very basic course of what is salvation. Why do we need salvation? And we also pray for people if they want to receive the Holy Spirit, and we speak a little about baptism. And there's some of you here that did receive the Holy Spirit there, and it's just so cool to see how God works. It's not that you do something, you just receive it, and God wants to give it to you. Okay, and that's about E1. So the multitude came together, and then Peter again, he stood up and he said, man, these people are not drunk. They are focused, because everyone could speak in a different language, so that everyone all over that known world could understand. But what did they speak? What did they say? They actually shared the good message. They actually shared what happened with this guy that we all murdered now recently. He actually was resurrected. He is the Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And he promised us to give this Holy Spirit to us. And we're supposed to believe in him, and he saves us of all our sin. So he had a powerful sermon there. And then they said, and hearing this, they were stabbed in the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, men, brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the next slide is, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. So it must have been powerful. It must have, if you visited Jerusalem that day, and you were there and you could see this, I think it was awesome. It was really a thing in your life that you will not miss. In South Africa, we had a prayer day recently, and people were called to come and pray for the government and for rain. And more than 1 million people came to a farm near Bloemfontein. Karlinki knows the area. She comes from Bloemfontein area. And the pictures of people coming there, it's actually the grass was cut, and the farmer, I don't know what crops he had because there was nothing. It was just short grass. And the Holy Spirit also came there with a wind. And there's small video clips of it. And then I think, Lord, it's amazing. When people together pray and you promise, and we can stand in faith and we can repent together. It's just a huge event. And if I see people commenting on this event, they say it was the best thing they ever did in life. And I think if we have been in Jerusalem that day, I think that also would have been the best thing of our life. Yes, I think going to heaven is even better, but for here on earth. Okay. It says, what I want to come to is wait. Wait on what has God for you, but wait, not, yes, patiently, but focused and prepared. Search God's heart. Ask him, if you can hear his voice, ask him, what do you want me to do? Where must I go? Like Martin wants to come back. He feels the Lord says he'll come back. So he is diligently focusing on getting the permit and getting everything right so that he can come. And God will open the ways. He will open the doors if you want to pursue what he has for you. And for us as a church, wait in one accord. Let's pray together. What we do, and I can really say we are still small, but there's unity. And yes, we have differences, but our focus is really bringing the word of God again to more people. Because God's heart is for everyone. It's not just for us. It's not for us to feel comfortable here and have a nice time and perhaps you know some new people. That comes with it. But it's about being discipled so that you can go out, so that you can teach others. I had the privilege this morning to speak to two people in this congregation. They did, we call it the CS book. It's Walking with Jesus. It's a disciple book. It has 40 days of small, pieces that you can study. It's the basic principles of the Evangelii of what is God, what is baptism, what authority you have, where, what identity you get. It's all the basic things, but it equips you. And I could see the questions they asked me. They have done effort to study this little bookie, to do it for 40 days, to finish it, and they are in that way discipled. They know a few things more now, and even some of them said they could answer questions of their friends, because now you have a little more knowledge. And the Bible says we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but we are not supposed to stay babies. We drink milk when we arrive. And we help you to drink lots of milk so that you can get bigger and grow. And then at the end you will be eating meat, and then you will disciple people. Because it's not just about ourselves. It's about multitudes who need to know Jesus. And the time is running out. We all know that this is the end times. And actually the end times mean between Jesus going to heaven and coming back. So no one knows, as I said, when Jesus will come back. But you only have your time on earth when you are alive. if you're dead, you cannot evangelize anymore. You cannot share with anyone anymore. And the people that are living now is not going to live forever. So they only have a chance while they live. So actually, we don't have so much time to reach everyone that's living now to share the awesomeness of God and what He has in stock for us, and that He wants relationship with us, and that He wants us to be discipled and share with everyone, so that all of us can have an eternal life with Jesus, with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are supposed to wait, prepare for Jesus Christ's return. We are not supposed to just watch TV or to have a good time on earth, unfortunately. So that's why you're here. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been here. You chose to make time to come today. You chose to make this a priority for today. And I believe God stirred your heart to be here. The slide after that is, God said, wait, and they did it in one accord. Wait actively with anticipation, looking forward together, focused. Okay, I actually said a lot of that already. It is looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, looking forward to share this news with everyone. We had some this mission team, and we often went to the university to evangelize there, and also in town. They all played an instrument, so that was quite easy, because they could play songs, worship songs, and then they would sing on outside. And then it's easy to make a connection with someone and say, what do you think of what they sing? And they're actually from South Africa, and yeah, they came to help us and this church plant, and then you can go on. Or we I don't know if anyone of you know the God test. We used the God test. Do you believe in a God? And if you say yes, you do the one page. And if you say no, you can turn it over. Then there's some questions to people so that you make them think. And often we experience that people are so content. I don't know if they are fake, but they are so content with not wondering if there is a God or not a God, or if I die, where will I go? What is the reason why I am on earth? Do I have a purpose? Yes, God did make you with a purpose. Especially now, you are here because God chose that you are here. You are not an accident. You are not here because some freaky thing happened. God chose you to be here now. God chose you to be here now in the Netherlands. And it's so sad to see that there's so many people that don't have that. They're just doing life. And as we drove here, I spoke a little with Martin, and there's so many activities in Utrecht and in the Netherlands. It's not difficult to not be busy. It's difficult to discern, where must I get busy with? And I feel it's also a strategy of the enemy to keep us so busy, so that we will not make time for God, because we are so busy. I watch the people on King's Day. I actually love King's Day because everyone's friendly that day. And still there's something special in honoring a king. I don't know how many people honor the king that day, but I think there are a few. And God is our king, and we need to honor him, and we need to celebrate him. But I watch the people. Most of them walk past each other without greeting each other, but they're happy because it's so gezellig. But they don't communicate with each other. They're just together on the street. And it feels nice because we are together. There's a few others, but there's actually not much happening. Yeah, there's a few things that you can buy, but most of the people just walk past there. I bought a handbag, a cheap one, which I love. But I think the more we are busy, the more difficult it is to focus and be prepared on what Jesus wants us to be, or God. Before we watch this clip, I want to just share that we are the church. We have a song also that we sometimes sing. We are the church. We are the plan of God, the church. He chose to operate through the church. And yes, we are many churches, as I think we are many personalities. And I do not have so much a problem with many churches as long as we honor the same God, Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have different personalities, so someone will like more live music and others less. But we are the bride. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus will come back when we are without spot and wrinkle. Are we without spot and wrinkle? No, we still need to prepare. We still need to be focused. We still need to get further. We still need to do the discipling courses, be equipped, go out, tell more people. Luckily, Shofar has a lot of opportunities in that way. So Shofar helps you. Shofar also, this church also helped me a lot to hear God's voice, to really live in His will, to know what is His will. That helped me a lot to be equipped so that I can today help starting this church up, which I think no one feels really equipped. But God uses you with your failures. Luckily, we don't need to be perfect. We just need to do what He wants us to do. We're gonna look at a clip of, I think it's Braveheart. I didn't watch the movie, but I saw the clip in another sermon, and I thought, yeah, it says something about the wait on the right time. Wait. So actively prepare. If you look at this army, they are prepared. They are focused. They are briefed. They are standing in one accord. No one makes a joke. Everyone is focused on their job, and they wait for the command. Okay, let's have a look. Going to look at the gruesome part, but I'm glad I'm not in that army. You wait, and then there's a divine time and a divine order, and then it will have success. I don't know. I hope it was successful. We will skip the rest of the slides. I want to come to the last one. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord. And it shall be that every one who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to wait for Jesus' coming. We need to be prepared. And God said to me, this sermon must be about wait and shine. So I didn't speak a lot about shine, but shine is do not hide. Do not sit in your bedroom and just stay there and do not share this good news with anyone. That's not what God said. He said, shine, be His light, be the hope that people want to have. The hope that the God in us, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, is the hope. share that with people. And I spoke about being discipled, being prepared well. This church will help, but you can also, perhaps there's other churches that's also good in that. And we must ask, you must ask God if you need to be here. But if you're here, we gonna expect from you to attend a few of these courses. They are not long, to equip you so that you can be better, so that we can be this efficient church, that we prepare the bride of God. And it's not about yourself. It's not if you are in a comfort zone. And I come back to that sprinkler thing of me. I was in my comfort zone and I was not prepared to move and to go. And at that stage, really, I was not. But God did stir my heart. And eventually, I could make the step to come here and to immigrate. And it's not that that's not so cool or whatever. But I couldn't have done it before. And it was because I was trained and helped. And I know how to hear His voice, so that I can be more efficient in His kingdom, in the bride, to help the bride, to become myself more without spot and wrinkle and help each other. So I would like you to stand that I can pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your glorious plan. Thank you, Father, that we know we can always rely on you. Thank you, Father, that you love each one of us. Thank you, Father, that we have purpose. Father, even though we don't know always what is our purpose. But Father, thank you that we can work in your kingdom. It's a free offer. You don't ask anything to do because to get favor of you. It's just that we must accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Father, I ask you that if there is anybody here who have not chosen you, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, I ask you, Lord, to stir him or her or them now with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you stir them. And I want all eyes closed and heads bowed. It's not a place now to look around. It's not a place to talk to anyone else. It's a holy time. It's a holy time when God stirs people's lives, people to give their heart to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, and I ask you to stir these people. And I trust you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And you say that whenever someone gives his heart to you, that the angels stop in heaven. It's such a holy time. It's so precious. It's so awesome. So, Father, I ask you to stir this people. And while everyone's eyes are closed, I want to ask you if there's anyone whose heart is beating, you feel perhaps warm, or you have a sudden pain, or you desire not to act, but you know this call is for you. I ask you that you will be brave enough to just put up your hand that I can pray for you. Is there anyone that wants, that knows that he hasn't publicly given his himself to Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? Is there anyone? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you save, Father. Thank you that it's a choice. We have a choice. You haven't made us like robots. You haven't made us like automatic machines. We have a choice, Lord, and we can choose either you or not you. And thank you, Lord, for those who have chosen you, Father. Thank you that we can celebrate together. And if there's still anyone that wants to say, yes, today is the day that I don't want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, we would love to pray with you together. And if you can, come to the front. And as a believer, or as the rest of you who have given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to ask you, search your heart. Father, I want to ask you that you will help us search our own hearts to see where in this waiting we can be more focused, where we can live more in your will, where we can be discipled, where we can be disciples, how we can bring your bride without blemish or wrinkle. Father, I ask you to reveal it to each one now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel that some of you heard what God said to you, and if you would like to share it, it would be great. You can come to the front and just share what God has shown you or what you feel He's speaking to you. And then I want to say, if there's anyone who needs prayer, anyone with sickness, or anyone whose brain cannot focus, or anyone who's struggling in life, you're more than welcome to come to the front that we can pray. Meanwhile, Martin will play some music, and if you're finished, you're more than welcome to have some coffee.